So this interview is going to be a little different from some of the previous ones we've done, as it's going to be pretty non-technical and focused on AI instead of cybersecurity. So we got the chance to interview a pretty interesting person who used to be a software developer and now focuses on AI and his YouTube and social media channels. So he demos different AI products and covers all the advancements happening. So we'll put the link to those different channels in the description. They're definitely worth checking out. So this episode, we get to nerd out with him about all things AI, as well as demo a couple of those products as well. So we hope you enjoy.
So Dallas, tell us a little bit about yourself and sort of what you've been working on.
Personally, I'm co-founder of a water company called Spring Aqua. And we've developed a lot of software over the last decade. And we are now just totally transitioning our minds and our hearts into AI. And it's been something that has been completely mind-blowing to us, because we're learning how to train the models. And we're learning how to work with the APIs. And we're learning how to feed these models extreme amounts of data. And it then can start compiling and training itself on the data, which is called fine-tuning. And then based on that, we get a pretty amazing output. Like, for example, on our water company, we're building something right now where we basically throw in all the data from our conversations, our websites, our videos, transcripts, everything. And we're creating a customer service chatbot where anybody that has a questions on installations or anything about the water, they can just simply type and the chatbot will have that answer perfectly. And it's really cool too, because we're talking about the translations of languages. Well, now it makes us really easy to go global as well, because now our information can now be translated into a bunch of different languages.
So you mentioned that you can have multiple languages that are outputted from it. Is that because the models are being trained in multiple languages, or is it trained in one language and then converted later?
From everything I've read, is basically these models are trained on all the different languages, like English, Spanish, Russian, you know, all those different languages. So it can actually speak in those different tongues. So if you are talking in English and you say, hey, I need this translated in Spanish, you can try that right now. It's going to work perfectly. So you can just imagine the features of that is like, imagine customer service. So I'm an English speaking company, but I start selling in Mexico, and a person in Mexico calls in, they only speak Spanish. Well, my whole system has been trained in English, but now I can instantaneously convert that into Spanish and have an actual conversation with them in their native tongue. I mean, that's all possible with AI. And the actual API that they're using right now for kind of this transcribing of text is called Whisper API.
Super cool. So you mentioned that you're sort of putting it everywhere inside the business, right? One aspect would be customer service. What other things on the technical side of things have you been doing? So that's anything to make the technical side of your business faster, better, more efficient.
Okay, this part is really fun, because this part is where I get all my programmers involved. You know, I have an amazing team of software engineers, and we've been working together for a decade. And they're so good at what they do. They're software engineers, you know, every single training they could ever have in programming they have. And over the last like 3 months, I just totally have flipped everything they know on their head. And I have to retrain their brain, because they've been in so far in the weeds that they like getting in there and doing all the manual coding and all this kind of stuff. But I was showing them, hey, what kind of code do you need? And I don't code anymore, but I just type a script. I would say, hey, I need this to be done in ChatGPT, and brrr, it writes out a script. And the first time showing that to them, their mind was just explode. Their mind was bent. And ever since then, it's been my goal to get them to be focused on using this as a serious tool. I mean, every programmer right now is at such an advantage, because they already know how to code. All they have to do now is be able to use these tools and put the pieces in the right place. Like, one programmer is now equivalent to probably 10 programmers. I'm serious when I say that. Like, the output of programming is just 10x'd if you use AI to help you with this. AI is not always going to get it right. There's going to be issues. But if you know how to program, you can solve the issues really quickly. And over time, I mean, this isn't going anywhere. Over time, GPT-5 is going to be that much better at programming. So there's a lot of tools, like GitHub has a tool called Copilot, and they're just releasing Copilot X, which is actually a version of GPT-4. And all of this can be put into VS Code. So as you're coding, you can just have everything right there. So it's going to get to the point, like, dude, if you don't pay attention and you're not implementing AI to kind of be your 10 people of coders for you, then the people that barely know how to code but know how to just pick and choose and compile are going to smoke you, because they have these tools that can program for them.
So I guess follow-up question on that. With the companies that are banning ChatGPT or banning these AI tools out of fear that the AI tools are getting their data and they don't want to leak any of that data, in a year from now, let's say a year from now, how much at a disadvantage are those engineers, the company alone, but the engineers as well, going to be because they haven't been able to utilize these tools or test these tools or learn how to be a 10x engineer utilizing them? So what sort of disadvantages do you think these companies are going to be in?
One, I like that 10x engineer. We should sell hats, man. 10x engineer. I mean, I personally don't know. And again, this is my own personal opinion, right? This is my viewpoint. I believe that it's going to create a huge gap. Like, the people that embrace it now and actually truly adapt to this technology are going to be so far out ahead of their peers that eventually when the time comes, when people are like, oh my God, like, everybody's using this, they're so far behind and they're going to have to catch up one way or another. So right now, I think it's a period that it's inevitably going to create a gap. And if you're taking it right now and you're learning it and you're taking it seriously, in 3 years, you're going to be so far ahead. And this might even play into the idea of, like, is AI going to replace us, right? Like, that's a huge topic. And to be quite frank, I don't know. But here's what I think. I think that if you learn AI today, you're going to become much more valuable because it's going to become a tool for you. It's going to become something that just makes you more powerful, makes you quicker, makes you more efficient. And the person that learns how to do that is going to take the job of the person that does not. And I strongly believe in that.
What do you think is, like, most ripe for disruption right now?
The customer service industry. I mean, that's one thing that's already getting disrupted. I mean, right now you can just train a chatbot on all of your frequently asked questions, everything about your training manuals, everything. And the AI will kind of be able to be trained on those models and have some kind of customer service chatbot that is 24/7 around the clock. It doesn't sleep. It has all the right answers. It's instant. And it could be in every single language. So, I mean, that's something that is happening today. In the future, I mean, there's so many different things that this can go into. Like, we're already seeing things in video and images. I mean, video editing, text to video is using text prompts to create different filters and animations in videos, which is just insane. I mean, previously you would have to use different programs and it would be a very tedious process. And now it's literally just typing out what you want and it's rendering instantly. I mean, again, it's so early, like ghostwriting, you know, content creation, social media marketing experts. I mean, there's so much that's going to change. I mean, programming is changing, like, overnight, it feels like. So I think there's a lot that's going to be disrupted. I think it's a huge disruptor of so many different industries. Like, digital art creators, I mean, they've been disrupted by Midjourney. Now, my mom can create art by just typing into Midjourney of what she wants it to be. I mean, it's insane. And then Hollywood, I mean, where does that go in 5 years? You know, I now can use my iPhone and shoot amazing 4K film and run it through, like, a text to video software and create animations or whatever it may be. Like, where is that going to be in 5 years with AI? I mean, I think so many industries are going to get disrupted, but right now, customer service, I think, is already disrupted.
Do you think there's going to be any industries that can never have AI?
I think there's industries that maybe shouldn't. Like, I don't know. Like, this is it's an interesting topic because, like, I have this topic with my this discussion with my friends sometimes. Like, think about like a cook making new foods, right? An AI can't really taste, so like it can maybe copy and mix and match from other known chefs, but like, is it ever going to create something completely new?
I guess my counter to that would be, as you mentioned earlier, like just about any software that's an API can integrate with some sort of AI tool. So if it started making stuff, and then at the end of it, the customer gets like that survey, like you always get your email, you know, after you use some product, it asks for your feedback. It could potentially use that, right? Kind of loop it back and then start making decisions based on that feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the craziest thing about ChatGPT. I don't know how familiar you guys are, how much you guys use it, but like when you create a thread in there, it'll actually start learning from your thread. So here's an example. Actually, I'll just tell you what I'm doing right now. I have an experiment happening right now. It's called GPT Genie. And I'm on day 3 of my experiment right now. And basically what I've done is I've prompted ChatGPT to become my strategic business partner. And I prompted it to ask me a series of questions to get to know what I want to do, who's my target audience, what have I achieved already, and a bunch of different questions like that so it can help me write out a 30-day plan. And at the end of that, I answered questions, probably 5-10 minutes. I was thinking, answering questions, and then it started developing goals with me. And it was like, I want to have ambitious goals, so it gave me a set of goals. I said, hey, do you believe we can achieve this? It says yes, and it wrote out a plan. So now in that one thread, ChatGPT Genie, which I'm calling it GPT Genie, I'm able to go and just ask any questions like, hey, what do I need to focus on today? And it says, well, today is day 3 of your experiment. You know, we should do a video on this, and here's your video script. And when I talk about it training itself, I can start changing the video script to more reflect my tone of how I speak to my audience, and it'll start grasping that tone as well. So then the next video script will be a little bit more like me.
That's incredible. So it's learning off you from the threads as well. I guess one question that sort of comes to mind in that aspect is right now with GTP or GPT-4, it's pretty much closed book, right? Doesn't have access to the internet. The last known more or less information it received was in 2021. Are you fearful or hesitant that ChatGPT may have access to the internet? Do you think that's going to affect the models in any way?
Well, supposedly GPT-4 on Bing already has access to the internet. So if you want access to the internet on GPT-4, you can use Bing on the Edge browser. You have to have the Edge browser to get it. And they say that one is already connected to the internet. And GPT-4 on OpenAI says they're already going to connect to the internet and, you know, pretty soon as well. In terms of fears, I mean, what would be your fear of that? I guess I would throw that question back to you.
You never know what you find on the internet. So there's a lot of misinformation, right? If you look up the fastest way to lose weight, you're going to get 25 different answers. And, you know, all of them are going to be keto diet or carnivore diet or all these random things. So the information isn't always consistent, so to speak. It's not always true or false. So some of the fears, I would say, if connecting ChatGPT to the internet, you may get wrong information more often. It would be cool to see if it could, you know, as you produce content or as you produce blog posts, videos, that sort of stuff, if ChatGPT could actually analyze the content, give you pointers on what went well and what didn't go well in your video, And then you can analyze that to give back to ChatGPT to put into the next video.
Absolutely.
I think that would be cool. A lot of stuff like that. Some of the other fears are like the more mischievous industries, like deep fakes or any sort of way to deep fakes, like in the pornography area. One of the big ones that's come up recently in like the cybersecurity side is using ChatGPT and some of those new tools that have like the, you know, you take a picture of somebody, it sort of maps their face and you can talk and create videos. A lot of security protocols are built into like you have to have a video to access a bank account with more than, you know, $500 million, for example. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those security protocols are now sort of non-existent. And, you know, that may be one aspect of the fear, but another is like even on the political side, right? Now, presidents are saying things to the internet that they never said before, because some AI model created the video, then nobody can tell the difference. So just sort of
like when Biden talked about Chief Keef at the UN.
Yeah.
Like you saw that video.
Like those types of videos. Yeah. Like it just very, and then, you know, they're like, they have TikToks of all the presidents playing video games with each other and stuff like that. But just sort of wanted to get your thoughts. Like there is a lot of great that comes from it, but there's also some negative. Do you think there's a way to sort of squash the negative as this new AI technology grows? Or will it just be something we have to deal with similar to how we already have to on the internet?
I don't know, man. I mean, picking this up and being full force into this, I've chosen to be on the optimistic side. I just made that choice. Like, I always know that there's going to be the dark side and there's always going to be the light side. And hopefully I can be a person on the light side to be a voice for good and be a voice for battling the dark side. I don't know. Like, I know there's always going to be the dark side. But just as people are so focused on, you know, maybe using AI to hack or change security protocols, there's going to be people on the light side as well that are also using these tools to make them, you know, more sound, more secure using AI. So I think there's always going to be a battle. I think that's just life in general. And I've chosen to be on the optimistic side of everything. And that's how I approach AI completely. Like, I just want to showcase the best ways that we can use AI to better our business and our life. I do think you brought up, one good point, though, that I would be interested in looking into. If you could take your videos and have an API into your analytics of where people dropped off and it matches your script, well, then if it can learn that, hey, this part is usually where people drop off, let's manipulate this a little bit. I mean, whoever is listening to that, I just gave them an amazing product. I mean, you did it. You actually.
it's clickbait, 1 minute, 32 seconds in to keep you going, huh?
A little bit on some of the deep fakes that AI generated content. So a lot of companies, I know you've kind of talked about this a little bit in your Instagram pages you have, which we'll get to in a second. A lot of companies are finding ways to detect AI generated content, which it's kind of ironic because it seems like they're probably using AI to do that. I guess, how are they doing that? Like, what is the telltale sign that this is AI generated versus human generated? Because it seems like AI generated could just adapt very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, There is a word for this. I actually don't know the actual terminology, but there is a word. And when an AI generates a piece of content, it has this certain word. And maybe we can find this word and just post it up on this video. But if it has enough of this certain word, that it considers itself to be generated by AI. And those tools are getting so good now. Like, literally a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, you could take a piece of content, run it through ChatGPT, put it in another program called QuillBot, which would mix up the way that the words were, add synonyms in for different words, and then it would pass as human. So people in school could get away with writing their essays from AI, and they run it through an AI generator, it passes as a human. Today, that's gone. I mean, the AI, it's like that good and bad. You know, the good people are now figuring out ways to figure out, hey, don't cheat.
Since you brought up schools and cheating, How reliant do you think people are going to get on AI and ChatGPT in the next 5 to 10 years, right? Like the calculator came out and now most people, you know, they couldn't do long division anymore. If you had to do it on pen and paper because you just have calculators. Do you think that schools will adapt to the technology? Right now, it's I've seen in the news, it's kind of 50-50, whether they're blocking it or sort of embracing it. But what are your predictions on that?
Real quick, I'd like to throw in that I've never used long division or calculus or anything, even running this company, anything since college.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you told me to long divide right now, I would struggle. I would actually ask ChatGPT.
Teach me how to do it again.
But I think that's an interesting topic. I mean, again, personal opinion. I think that it would be sad if schools prevented kids from learning this technology, because it's not going anywhere. I think that would be the same way as like not letting someone be able to get on the computer when computers first started. You know, it's like that just totally changed everything. I mean, we're meeting not even in the same room on the computer and it changed everything, but now we're so used to this. I mean, AI is so new right now. We don't know where it's going, but I think it's going to create that gap. And there's so much good that you can do with AI if you do it in the right direction. Like AI could be the best tutor your kid could ever have if it's trained that way. It's going to have way more patience than you as a parent. It's going to be way smarter than you as a parent. And you can train it to do this. Like people just need to take the time to make these type of tools readily available.
Yeah, that is a good point. Like it could solve a lot of problems that we currently have. Like right now, like medical care for a lot of the world is kind of out of reach, even just kind of basic stuff like you go to a physician for, which you could probably pretty soon just type in your symptoms and it could give you a pretty good diagnosis.
I put this on my Instagram because this story shocked me. It was a dog, and the dog basically, the guy took him to a vet and they did a bunch of tests on this dog. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with them. The dog was like, the vet had no idea. The dog went home. The dog kept on getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And the guy took the test results of everything, put it into ChatGPT, and it looked analyzed the data and basically gave some scenarios of what it could be. And it said, hey, consult with a specialist for this. The guy consulted with the specialist. The vet confirmed what ChatGPT had said, and they fixed the dog. I mean, that's like...
That's incredible. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's interesting. It seems like a lot of ways it's going to enhance some professions. What jobs, I know like people talk to me, you know, like a lot of jobs maybe being eliminated by AI, but what jobs do you think AI will create that aren't here, they aren't here now or are on the horizon?
Well, I mean, the easiest answer to that is prompt engineering. Prompt engineering is how do you interact with the AI as a human? And how do you write the right sentences to make it understand and get the right output? And as of right now, that's huge. I mean, your experience might be completely different than my experience because I'm focused on learning how to better prompt. So my output of ChatGPT might be way better than someone that just doesn't know what they're doing. And that's called prompt engineering. And that's something that is definitely something that is new right now. I don't know if that changes in the future. I don't know if ChatGPT just makes that so much easier for everybody. But that's something that's definitely happened right now. In terms of the future, I don't know. It's a hard question to answer. I mean, I honestly don't know on that.
Yeah, I mean, even the prompt engineering, like, it seems like something schools should probably be embracing because I would say schools right now don't prepare you that well to compete in a capitalist society where, I mean, like, for example, as mentioned, like, calculus, I spend all the time, I've never used it, versus, like, something like prompt engineering or, like, understanding AI would be very useful for everybody to know it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, or just learning the basics of programming through ChatGPT. Like, what if the skill set is becoming a prompt engineering with a side of programming? You know, then you're like a master prompting engineer. And as of right now, you are extremely valuable. And here's a thing that I have experienced. It's not even a belief anymore. So I was just shocked by the amount of companies just popping up, right? Every day, new AI company. I mean, you guys probably see it. Everybody's sharing the 7 best tools of AI, and every single day they're different. And I was like, how is this happening? Well, people are using AI. They're using AI to help them code, to help them write full scripts, to help them train models. They're actually leveraging these tools, and their output is 10 times faster. And so I actually made a hat for my lead engineer, and it's GPT-4 engineer. And I told him every day when he goes to work, he's got to put on the hat, because he has to start thinking differently. Because if he's still in the weeds, writing every single line of code, closing every single bracket, he's going to get smoked. And that's just where we are. I mean, it's a revolution.
So who are the leaders in AI right now? Microsoft has Bing in ChatGPT. I think they invested in it. Google's creating something new. Yeah. Are there any underdogs that are coming up and are, you know, competing with ChatGPT, or are they pretty much the monopoly right now?
You know, this is going to sound really strange, but Google, it's for speculation right now if Google's an underdog. I mean, we know Google has AI, but in some recent news, I was reading that some of the Google engineers actually quit because they're training their models on ChatGPT right now. So I don't know if that proves how far behind they are. But I mean, ChatGPT has such an advantage right now with first to market. I mean, they're the quickest growing app of all time. So, I mean, as of right now, OpenAI is just it's massive. They're first to market users, what they're experiencing. I mean, right now, when they released GPT-4, they had been working on it for 6 to 8 months before they released it. So we know that they're probably working on GPT-5. They've been they probably already have GPT-5. You know, and is Google now going to release something that's 80% of GPT-4? I mean, where's Google in this? And that is crazy, because Google, we all know Google, they're a giant. And I mean, it could be a huge disruption in terms of search. I mean, that's a really interesting concept, and who knows where that will go. I mean, now OpenAI is releasing these plugins, and I don't know if you guys have seen what these plugins can do, but like, if you say, hey, book me a trip to Rome, it'll connect to Kayak or Expedia and just go ahead and chat with you. Okay, it looks like we got a 4 p.m. on Friday. Did you want to do this one? Yeah, book me that one. You know, I mean, where does that go in terms of the search race?
So one thing I saw is Google has developed a couple AI technologies, such as they have a voice bot where they've called other companies and the bot was just talking to the other person.
Yeah.
And they've never released this to the public.
Yeah. And that was like 2018, right?
Yeah. And there's apparently there's a couple other like beta products that they have like that too, that they've never released to the public, which I guess, why do you think they wouldn't release it to the public? Because I mean, as far as building products, it's kind of common knowledge, like, especially if you're using like the agile method, that you want to get it out, shipped as quick as possible, and get the customer feedback.
That's an interesting thing that might just be strictly down to culture, and meaning like Google's such a big company, man. They have to go through so many hoops and bounds to be able to release anything. I mean, they're under so much scrutiny probably all the time. I mean, how many legal battles are they in right now? You know, everything they do, they probably have to be so careful, where OpenAI is like almost like startup guy. It's operating in the gray space. Like, it's just putting stuff out there. It has no idea what's happening right now. And that might be it. I mean, who knows? I know Google has amazing technology. It's just, I don't understand, where is it?
So kind of a trickle down question for you. You mentioned that you can have ChatGPT do functions that your programmers would do, for example. So you basically subsidize down the project into smaller projects for the bot to do. Do you think it's possible to almost, let's say you have a 100-person company. If you're the chatbot orchestrator, the AI orchestrator, could you create enough tasks or have the bots create enough tasks for other bots to complete to orchestrate the entire workforce of the other 99 people? Because the bots will do it almost instantly, right? So you're producing more, but could you orchestrate the bot to orchestrate other bots, sort of that recursion aspect.
I mean, a personal opinion again, I think it's, yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, why not? You just connect them, right?
Yeah, plug and play.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that could be so powerful. Again, that plays into that role of like, where are we going to be in 5 years?
Right.
But the person that knows how to orchestrate that is going to be extremely valuable. I mean, that gets back to that whole prompting aspect.
Terms of business needs and aspects, like, is there anything that the AI can't do? Right? It can file, it can book you a trip to Rome, it can file legal paperwork, it can sell things online, it can create Stripe accounts. Is there anything that the bot won't be able to do?
I mean, emotions.
It can it analyze the emotion from text? I don't know enough about the AI, but can it analyze others' emotions? Could it learn emotions?
It can mimic emotion. So
Okay.
a really interesting experiment, if you want to do, is on GPT-4, you can say, if this was your last message to the world, what would it be and how would you feel? And it'll write something that is actually pretty incredible. I mean, I put that on my Instagram, and it's an insane message that it just talks about humanity, and it gets a little, it made me emotional. I mean, it doesn't have
Yeah.
emotion, but it can mimic everything. I mean, I don't know if like if you say something like that, it'll make it mad because you said it in a certain tone. You know what I mean? Like if your
Yeah.
girlfriend or significant other says something and she just says it just the wrong way, it sparks something inside of you. And I
Right.
think that's inherently human. Also,
Okay.
another thing inherently human is our own consciousness.
Right.
Like, will AI ever have consciousness? I don't know.
What's kind of crazy is right now, nobody knows we've been talking to a bot this whole time. Just kidding. But soon, maybe. Maybe. So, this is a good segue because Elon Musk released that letter, the open letter, where he kind of talked about a lot of dangers and why, and suggested a pause. What do you think of that letter? And do you think there's any merit to it?
I mean, I personally think Elon Musk is like the greatest inventor entrepreneur of all time. I mean, I love that guy. I think that obviously he has something smart to say about it. I mean, I think what he's trying to say is like, hey, where is this all going? Like, what prevents the rails from coming off? And what prevents just this just taking it too far? And where do we sit back and think about the trickle effect of this. What does it affect? And I think it's happening so fast that like, it's just, it may be out of control. Who knows? But here's the problem. It's open source. A lot of it is open source, right? Like, there's other companies that are not OpenAI that do model training, and Stable Diffusion is another one that's completely open source. So anybody can now just start pushing this advancement forward. So that letter talks about everyone taking a pause. I believe it was for 6 months. And I think that's a great idea. I mean, let's evaluate the situation. I mean, we've come so far already. Let's just make sure that we do it right for humanity. But will that actually happen? I don't think so. Because how are you going to get everybody in the world to take the pause?
Yeah, so I was thinking that, like, I heard the news was people saying, like, a lot of these jobs are going to be replaced, and they may, but there was someone who was saying, like, Congress should pass a law banning, like, self-driving cars and self-driving trucks. But the problem with that is, like, eventually we probably just, as an economy, wouldn't compete with all the other countries that are doing that aren't going to ban it and still do it because they're just going to
Exactly.
be a lot more efficient.
Exactly. I mean, this I mean, I'm maybe too young to say this, but it's a revolution. Like, just like the Industrial Revolution changed everything. Just like the platform shift from never having the internet to the internet, or from the clunky old desktops to mobile. You know, like this platform shift is so big. It's so big. And it changes literally everything. And the scary part, or exciting, depending on how you want to look at it, is how quickly it's happening. I mean, we're not talking a change that's going to happen in 5 years. We're talking about a change that's already happening in a few months. I mean, ChatGPT was released in December.
What do you think about those companies like Boston Dynamics, for example? Because they make some crazy robotics products that are going to be integrated with different AI platforms if they don't have a proprietary one themselves, which they may. What do you think about some of that? How do you think that's going to be when there's like those little robots walking around?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of already happening. I mean, I want one to do my dishes and do my laundry. I mean, let's go. I'll take that one anytime. I actually just saw a post, something about New York, where they're doing like policing robots. Like they're kind of getting into that space. I don't know if you guys seen the video too. There was a video of I think it was like I forget what it was, a truck stop at the border, and there was one of those Boston Dynamics dogs taking pictures of the license plates. You know, I mean, that it's we can't be oblivious to the fact that that's coming. I mean, that's a whole nother topic though. That's like hardware AI.
We did like a couple podcast episodes ago. We interviewed a U.S. Navy cryptologic warfare officer, and he was saying right now that the federal government has a policy of having a human in the loop. Like, so the AI, they won't let the AI, like the AI can like take track a target, but they won't let it fire. That's supposed to be a human that does that, which I imagine is probably how they're going to apply it to policing. Like the AI may like identify a crime, but it's not actually going to try to arrest you.
That's the part of the world that I don't think anybody truly knows yet. But the thing is, like, AI has shown itself to us now. I mean, AI has been around forever, tens of years. You know, it was probably back in the 40s when, you know, the first guy started talking about AI. But computing power is what limited it. And now computing power has become so readily available. And over the next 5-10 years, computing power is not only going to increase exponentially, but the cost of power is going to come down. And that is the perfect recipe for AI. So the AI we have today compared to the AI that we have in 5 years is going to be night and day.
If we have to train the AIs currently to learn new things, right? We give it the data, we basically create the model, and then we train the AI off the models. Will the AIs ever get to a point to where they can learn new things on their own? If that makes sense. And if they can, because it's only been out for 4 months and has learned almost everything that we have on the internet or in, you know, public archives and things like that, will AI out advance humans in such a short period of time?
Yeah, when AI starts creating its own AI.
Yeah, so there's a theory that you guys can look up. It's called the metamorphosis theory. And basically what it speaks about is anytime AI wants to make that much of a leap, it needs to have an interaction with a human to be able to allow that leap to happen. For example, the tadpole to the frog, right? That leap in evolution, there needs to be human interaction, because technically it's possible. I mean, AI can train itself to be better and make those leaps in its own evolution, which is crazy. But that's where this metamorphosis idea comes into play, where, you know, we need to have some standards to have human interaction before AI can make those drastic leaps. Do you guys want to see something real quick? Something fun?
Yeah.
Okay, let me share my screen. Okay, so this is something how I use ChatGPT. I just wanted to share this because this is so useful for myself and my business. And here's a simple prompt. As a writing expert, I will provide you the content. You will then rewrite my content in 5 different writing styles, split in table format. And then here's the beautiful thing. When you have a good prompt, what we talked about, prompt engineering, ChatGPT is going to confirm that it understands. And if it just starts rambling on right here, well, then you know that you don't have a good prompt. So then what I do is, you know, here I said I will provide the content. So basically, I just wrote something that I want to develop in my social media channel, and it spits out all these different versions. So you can see I have a persuasive version, informative, playful, professional, excited, and all of these are written different exactly on this one thing. So for me, as a content creator or a website builder or whatever, this just helps me leverage AI to basically build out everything I want in different styles, try different things quickly, way quicker than I could ever do on my own. That's something that's really, really helpful. This one, for example, you are my social media expert. I will provide a description of my post. You will then write a keyword loaded description tailored to track my audience. And here's just some basic prompt engineering knowledge. So audience right here is a keyword. Social media expert right here is a keyword. And you can get ChatGPT to basically be anybody you want. And then I just define the audience, entrepreneurs, small business owners, creatives. And it says, great. And then I just simply describe what my post is about. And it starts writing me a perfect caption, including relevant hashtags and everything.
Real quick, before we keep going, what do the brackets do? So you are my social media expert. Are the brackets something special with ChatGPT?
I mean, these ones are basically what I'm considering to be keywords. And so okay. You can replace this with anything you want. You could say, you are my therapist. You are my accountant. You know, anything you want here to, because ChatGPT is going to take on that persona of whoever you want it to be. It's going to kind of train itself, its mind, on how it should perform. And then also these brackets, like you can say that this is like a keyword here, audience, and then you're going to define it down below, right? So I'm going to define the audience. So I can just always change out who the audience I want to be here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Here's another cool thing that I'll just share with you guys. Let me find Discord. Okay. You see this image?
Yep. Looks familiar.
Right? So this image was created from this. And I was playing with this morning, and basically you can text what I was telling, text to image. Like right here, I was saying, here, use this image, which I just showed you, a masculine surfer vibe, healthy, 25 years old. I think it made me look way older than 25, but looking straight at the camera. So I'm prompting it, right, to create an image. So I'm going to take this image now, and using AI, I'm actually going to clone my voice, and I'm going to animate this photo so I can just feed it transcripts and it'll start speaking.
That's wow. Crazy. What platform is that?
This is called Midjourney. So it's wild. Like I'm embarrassed to show some of these, because some of these are ridiculous. But like when I first started playing with this up here, I'll share with you guys this. Look at this. I don't know why it started making me like, look at this hair.
That's wild.
But eventually I started dialing down this prompt and getting to a spot where I created basically this character that I want to animate now.
That's awesome. And can you change like the if you provide an image, can you change like the shirt color, the background, or do you have to create a new character every time?
Either or. You can actually do what's called in painting, and in painting is actually selecting a certain part of the picture and just saying like, hey, make this shirt red, make this shirt tie dye.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. That's super cool.
So there's a lot of really, 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 really fun things that you can do with text to image, text to video, and just AI in general.
Hey, so we're getting towards the end here. And you kind of mentioned some of those platforms. So I'd be curious, what do you think right now the coolest AI platforms are outside of the major ones that everyone knows already?
Okay, well, obviously ChatGPT. Midjourney is really cool. It's really fun to play with text to image. There's another one called Runway ML, and they have a platform called Gen 2, which is text to video. What I just showed you on images, imagine that with videos. So imagine me animating an actual motion picture. You can do that. That one's amazing. And there's other things like CapCut. I don't know if you guys know CapCut, but CapCut allows you to add captions to your video really easily. Click of a button, automates it, styles it. I mean, there's just so many different tools out there. I would say if you want to know all that stuff, then you know, go to the AI Surfer. I mean, I have all that stuff right there.
Okay. Yeah, so if people are looking to kind of follow you, get some more insights, where are the best places to find you and follow you?
Yeah, just at the AI Surfer anywhere. Mostly, I mean, my biggest, yeah, anywhere, any social media. YouTube, I'm not too good on it. I like to animate myself and get my YouTube going. But yeah, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever it may be. Also the AISurfer.com. I have a mastermind group, and this is actually really cool because anybody that's interested in AI, we have a group on Telegram and we're always sharing ideas. It's a place where I get a lot of my ideas as well because the whole community's there. It's a place to get your questions answered, and a lot of my developers right now are actually developing tools, AI tools, to be in part of that community as well. So soon you'll be able to access GPT and Midjourney all within the Telegram group as well.
This has been incredibly insightful. Thanks so much for coming on.